Hey guys, welcome back to the No Holds Barred Network with another episode of Under the Ropes. I'm your host as always, the queen of the indies, Tiffany. And it's been a while, I've been going down photographers within the last couple of months, and I feel like Chris Grasso has to come on here. So, like, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Finally got you on here. I'm really excited about you joining us here today. If you guys are new here to the Under the Rope series on the No Holds Barred Network, here I interview everything independent wrestling, whether it's photographers, wrestlers, promoters, backstage, everything independent wrestling, I got you covered. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And I'm sure if you guys got any questions for Chris, please drop them in the chat, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to answer all of your questions. So we're going to start off with a bang here. So let's go all the way back here. So how did you get into photography?
So when I graduated college, I had a degree in communications. It was TV, film, radio. And of course, you know, there's not much out there for that. So I went and worked on independent feature film for a while, for like a month. And they basically were like, I was a production assistant, and they said, well, if you want to be in this business, you have to start from the bottom, and you're not going to be able to get paid for about 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So now, you know, I just graduated. So it's like, okay, well, I just got married. Starting all of that, I'm moving forward with my life. So that really wasn't feasible. So I did it for a while. And then I was looking for work, and I found a job working in construction photography.
Oh, wow.
So what that entailed was like doing progress photos. If they're working on a bridge or something, you take pictures of it as they're building it. All kind of construction sites, all kind of things in like New York City, Philadelphia, and whatnot. They eventually laid me off.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Great. Lack of work. So I did that for about 6 months, looked for a job again, found a job as a portrait photographer, like doing school pictures and stuff. So that was in 2000, and I worked for a company for 4 years and decided that I wanted to try this on my own. And since 2004, I've been on my own, you know, ever since. So that's kind of how that all started.
Oh, wow. That's so crazy. It's always interesting because even one of my friends who's like a makeup artist, even to like to hear the stories of what you have to go through before you actually like get into like the bigger league. So we're going to go with this. So like, how did you go over into like wrestling, and like, where did that love of photography and wrestling happen?
So, you know, it's funny because like, what was going on? Like, my wife and I were kind of like on the outsides with like wrestling. Like, we weren't in the independent scene or anything when we first got married or whatnot. But we would watch like WCW and all, and we would go to a show occasionally. So as I'm growing my business, 2005, 6, 7, I mean, I'm working from like 6 a.m. to 1 a.m. I mean, just trying to get this thing off the ground. I'm working two jobs. So there wasn't really much time to go to shows and whatnot. And I kind of saw some stuff about CZW around the mid-2000s, and it was interesting. You know, I was like, man, this stuff looks so cool. You know, look what these guys are, you know, they're really taking wrestling, and they're adding all these dangerous implements, like even beyond what ECW was doing. And so on and off, we were like, yeah, we should go. And then we finally did. It was like around 2009. So we went to that Cage of Death in December of 2009. Yeah, that was our first experience.
Going all in, like real serious wrestling, like not even like regular entertaining wrestling. You're getting like deathmatch. Like, so crazy.
Well, you know, we had done the, you know, we had done the WWE, and we're like in the nosebleed section, you know, like by the roof of the stadium and stuff. So we wanted to we had actually went to 3PW a few times, like in the early 2000s. And we would get front row seats, and you know, had a blast. But you know, once I got so busy trying to build the business up, I just couldn't. But once we went to that show, we were like hooked. And so we, for a while, I was going to maybe 3 or 4 CZW shows a year, you know, because I was just way too busy, like with personal life and stuff. I had emailed them about like, hey, I'm a photographer. I would like to see if you needed a photography help or whatnot, and it never was answered. It wasn't answered for like. Yeah, it was like, but you know, I'm sure they were hit up like by, you know, how many people every day, every week, whatever. So it was like just kind of a passing thing. I had tried for on and off for a couple of years, just hitting them up, just emailing them, but no response ever.
Wow. Yeah. But I think that's just how it is anyway, just in wrestling in general, because I mean, you hear the stories with wrestlers trying to get booked on certain promotions, or like I'll even have conversation with promoters and they'll be like, do you know what like my DMs look like? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh yeah. Oh, I totally understand. Yeah. It. Like I had nothing, there's nothing to show, you know?
Right. Right. Oh wow. And then here we are. So like, where was it like your first place that you photographed, you know, at a wrestling show?
Well, okay, so what had happened was, so it was 2012, and I was at Tournament of Death.
Okay.
And so I was in the crowd just shooting. I wasn't really friends on Facebook or very much with like wrestlers, maybe just a few. And I took some pictures. I took some like almost like telephoto lens shots. And I got a really good one of Drake swinging a chair. It was a round one of Rory. And he saw it. And like he hit me up and he said, are you a professional photographer? And I'm like, well, I am. I'm a school photographer. And I had kind of given up the idea of being a wrestling photographer. I mean, it had been like 3 years. I just kind of enjoyed just going to the shows at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what would you think about shooting ringside? I'm like, oh, so it was this easy to do this, right? So I was like, yeah, of course. So I guess he talked to DJ. And then Matt Tremont was another one. He saw some pictures I had taken of that tournament. He hit me up as well and said, I like your pictures. Would you be interested in shooting ringside? So it was kind of like this, you know, perfect storm, really. So I was like, yeah, of course. So they kind of sponsored me. And wow. Yeah, it was, you know, they didn't know me. I didn't know Matt. I didn't know Rory at the time. So my first shoot, there was a Sunday show. I can't remember the name of the, I think it's a VFW in Maple Shade, New Jersey. And, the place never advertised the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There was they had like, you know, they had like 6 or 8 matches. There's like 15 people there.
Oh, wow.
So, they had CZW had contacted me and they said, well, we want you to do a test show. If you do a test show here and you don't mess up and get in the way and whatnot, we'll have you come to the regular shows. So I was like, oh, that's fine. Well, there was no fans. There was no camera. There was no nothing.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty easy to just take some good shots. It was outdoors. I mean, it was like all the elements of making it super easy for me to not mess up for myself. So, so that was July of 2012 was my first like ringside, you know, shooting.
Wow. That's so cool. let me give some love in the chat over here. Okay, Frankie Picard's in here. He goes, it's Chris Grasso. And he puts a bunch of fire emojis. He goes, he's my favorite. Chris Grasso is my hero. And then Nick Papa G's in here. He goes, ugh. And Frankie's yelling at him to stop hating. So
Yeah, there they are.
There they are. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. So that's so cool. So there you're working there. And like, so obviously that like progressed. So that started with like ringside. So where did it start where you were actually doing the actual like promo photos for the wrestlers?
It took a while. So, you know, CZW had Blake there. So he was shooting his own promos. And Lyle at the time was not. He was just doing just ringside. Scott Finkelstein was doing just ringside. And then there was like a smattering of other people. There was Sean Carr, who's No Days Off. He was shooting at the time. Brooke. So it was kind of like it was kind of Blake's gig. And again, I think it was 15 or 16. I was like, hey, you know, when Blake isn't, because Blake was affiliated with like WSU, he was like promoter and whatnot. I was like, well, when he's not there, why let me shoot promos of, you know, of the roster of CZW's roster, because they needed to update their online and whatnot, and everybody was like complaining about it, and nobody was doing anything about it. So I said, well, let me shoot some promos. I'm a portrait photographer. We'll do basic stuff, you know, solid black, white, whatever. And we can update, you know, the promos. It took a little while to kind of get that rolling, but then that's kind of when it started. Mm-hmm. Was around then. It was about, I guess it was like 2015 or so.
Wow. That's so cool. That's funny. I think I got like footage of you guys backstage at, H2O in Atlantic City. I came backstage and I was with my camera and I was like filming little, you know, whatever. I was getting promos or like fun little skits, and then you guys were setting up to do promo photos, and I had you, Mouse, and Earl in the background like setting up to do these promos, and I'm like, okay, this is what goes on in the background that you guys don't see that's so important. That's why I say like you guys are so important on like so many levels, even for people like podcasts like me. I mean, Chris, we're talking about this off air, that I get to use like the photos of the promos for the wrestlers and promoters, anybody that I have on the podcast, in my thumbnails. And most of them are either Chris's, Mouse's, or Earl's. Yeah. So like, I can't thank you guys enough for letting me use all that for make these cool thumbnails and layouts. But that's really neat. Like that's so cool. So on average, how many photos are in your camera that you probably take at a show?
You know, I would say in an average show between 600 and 1,000. I really don't take a lot of shots because I have a whole like sort of process I have to go through. I try to put about 150 to 200 pictures of every show. So I try to get 20, 25 good pictures that tell the story of the match. Mm-hmm. Per match, you know, per show. And so I don't really take a lot. And I would say promo wise, if everybody takes promos, maybe 300 additional ones. Oh, wow. So I'm not one of those ones that takes like, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of shots at a show. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know, I have to go through them all. And if four shots are the same to me, that's just a waste of time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
So, yeah, I'm trying to get that one and really focus on like a lot of movement. I try to focus on a lot of the sequences of action and things like that.
Right. It's really, and then when you go through these pictures, like how long does it take for you to go through and like do any edits that you do to them?
Well, I have a super slow process. So what I do is my process is I photograph them on RAW. And then I go through them on RAW and I do some like basic corrections and whatnot. Just go through and see which ones I like. Then I save them to JPEG. Then I edit them on JPEG, clean them up a little bit more, crop and whatnot. So then they're generally ready to go after that second edit. And then usually the third edit is just like to put like my name on it or whatever, right. Which isn't really that time consuming, but an average show takes me about 8 to 12 hours to edit.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. You know, that's one question that I didn't even ask the other guys. Like, I was really curious, like, how long, like, this whole
Well, process. Earl and Mouse kind of have it streamlined like, they're a lot faster, and like they have a better process, I think. I do everything kind of the old way of, uh-huh. of it, and they kind of have, both of them have kind of like nudged me into like doing photography that's not more than 10 years old, because like my portrait setup is an old school setup. It's really designed for film. It's not designed for digital. And it would make my life easier if I had sort of the modern stuff. But the equipment that I have will last for decades. It just lasts. It's designed to never break. So I just keep using it, and it just keeps plugging along.
That's good. Frankie's got some questions for you. He goes, sure. Out of all the photos you take, what is your favorite?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many. I really don't have a favorite. Like, I say that I have about 5 to 10, like, quote, epic photos. You know, like, it's like there's a picture of Masada and Connor where he's getting skewered. Like, that went everywhere. And that recycles every once in a while. There's, mm-hmm. like, a shot of Janela going off the roof with Zandig. Like, there are just certain shots that you'll just see. It'll just pop up on the internet over and over again. Mm-hmm. As far as Frankie, of course. I have so many of Frank. So I can go through them. I mean, I've got to post them up. I've got good shots of Frankie when he was like relatively new in wrestling, doing promos and stuff, and you could tell he's like such a greenhorn. he wrestled Nick. He wrestled Nick Gage on the beach, and like just hilarious. Like, they're just doing these spots, and then like he's getting flipped in the water and stuff. So that was a really fun shoot.
Oh wow.
And then my favorite of Frankie is probably the horse. We, you know, the horse pictures.
Yes.
And stuff. Yeah. Like, he's on the horse and his cigarette's all like crooked and broke. And I'm like, how do you not love that? I love
it. You know, I feel like since you like brought that up, that you were saying that like back then, like that might be like an interesting concept of like a book. I mean, we'll get into your book after. but that might be a cool concept to do a book of a before and current, like when they first started, like your, one of your first photos of them, like when they first started out until like where they're evolved to now. Yeah. I think that would be like a really cool, like edit book, to definitely see. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, some of the guys and girls, I mean, I've photographed them 8-9 years now. And so they do change, you know. Yeah. They bulk up, they get, you know, they look like little kids, and now they look like big, you know, wrestlers now, you know? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So that'd be like kind of really cool to see. Frankie's other question was, who is your favorite wrestler you take photos of?
Not me and Frankie Picard. come on, Frankie. It's one of those things. So I always go in no matter what. It's like I try to treat everybody that I do promos with the same respect, regardless if they've never stepped in the ring to if they're a 20-year vet or if they've been on WWE. You know, I try to treat everybody with the same respect. We go through posing. You know, I have some stuff in my hat that we can go over, and I try to give them a variety of shots. But you know, again, it's like there's so many now, so many wrestlers I photograph. Like, it's I couldn't give you a real answer. Yeah, I mean, you know, I just so like funny. Doing the process, right. You know, more than like, oh, it's not about the individual.
Has there been like that photo that you caught? I mean, I'm sure there's a million of them, but let's talk about maybe one that maybe sticks out to you that you caught mid action wrestling that you're like, holy shit, I caught that, and it came out like so good. Like,
yeah, for sure. The most recent one would be when Allie kicked Penelope in the face, and I happened to just catch like the impact of her face.
Oh wow.
And yeah, it was a crazy, I just got it right. I mean, you know, I didn't see it when I took it, but like I showed it to both of them after their match. And I was like, I can't believe I got the shot. And they actually, like, they were like squealing in excitement, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I knew that it, like, so every once in a while you just get something that is just so better, so beyond what you normally take, and you're just like, whoa, you know, like, yeah. I can't believe I got that, you know? And it happens.
It's really cool, like, even to go, like, even shows that I go to, and to, like, go back and, like, go look at your guys' photos. It's, like, really cool because the gems that, like, come up. I mean, I mean, I marked out when you guys, when I sponsored the scramble at H2O with the boys, and one of you, I don't know if it was you or one of you guys caught Austin Luke flying at me, I think it was. And then the other one had, like, Austin, like, hugging me, which was, like, such a cool moment for me. And, like, I put them up on my Instagram and my socials, too. But it's, like, just, like, the cool moments. Like, I mean, Bloodsport, like, we could talk about, like, like, those moments. Like, okay, so let's talk about all those crazy death matches, all right? Like, real crazy. Because I was just talking about this yesterday with April. We were just talking about all these crazy death matches and people thinking that that they're ready to go watch death, but they're not really, they don't really know, like, how real death matching wrestling is. You yeah. saw the little Nick Gage and Jericho on AEW, but it's nothing compared to what we see, like, Bloodsport, GCW, CCW, you know, all these, you know, Freedoms, Japan, all that. Yeah. So, and I know we talked about this with Earl a little bit. You know, you guys are all up in this action. Glass, light tubes, barbed yeah. wire. Like, you guys get hurt too yeah. doing this. So, like, let's talk a little bit about your experiences doing, you know, these crazy deathmatch photos.
I've been hurt a few times where I had to go to the hospital once, and I really should have went a second time. The first NGI, I cut my wrist real bad. So it's hard to see, but, like, I cut it, like, right there. And it was bleeding so bad. So I'm like, freaking out. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I run back to the backstage, and it's pouring out of me. The blood is pouring out. I'm like, I hit an artery, this and that. So I ran into Danny Havoc. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Danny, can you take a look at this? And takes one look, and he's like, man, it ain't that bad. Now, meanwhile, it's leaking out, like, it's just pouring out, and I'm like, oh my God, and so, he's like, Matt, come here. So Matt comes in, he looks at it, Matt just laughs and walks away. I'm like, no, okay, yeah, I'm having deathmatch guys, like, looking at me, and they're like, oh, what is this guy, a pussy or something, right? So it was open. So he had his medical kit. He gave me a few things. We sealed it up, and it kept bleeding, and then it eventually stopped, and I went back to shoot. And then I eventually had to get some stitches for it because it was a mess. But I cut my forehead here on a tube. It got kicked into my head. We grind our elbows. Like, my elbows are always, like, grinded up because you'll hit glass or something. Stuff flies. Mm-hmm. It'll hit me in the legs. Legs start bleeding. Let me think, what else? I find glass in my pockets. I find glass in my socks. I mean, it's crazy what goes on in there, you know? It really is. It's nuts. But you almost kind of get used to it, you know? Like, there's a way you can position yourself to try to not to get hit directly with light tubes and whatnot. You got to kind of, like, work the op. Like, if somebody's swinging a tube and you're in front of it, it's going to wind up. Debris is going to hit you. So you try to be slightly off on an angle. I use the ring post sometimes to protect me. Mm-hmm. Glasses hit the camera. Glasses chipped the camera.
Oh, wow.
I had one time, I broke my nose one time. It was a on-point show where it was Cannonball versus, I'm trying to think of them. They're two brothers. They're deathmatch guys. And they did a chair shot. The chair flew, hit me right in the nose, broke my nose.
Oh, my goodness.
Gushing out blood, like, grabbing paper towels, you know. So, you know, it's kind of like I'm not saying, oh, I'm, like, so cool and such a tough guy. Like, it's just kind of like it's part of doing this, you know, because it's its own art form. And I want to try to capture it as best as I can,
right.
You know, right there.
Those light tubes and me. I mean, you always see me. I'm always front row. I'm all in on this. Like, give it to me. Like, people think I'm nuts. Like, give me the damn light tubes. And that last GCW show that was in Atlantic City where we had Drew Parker and Alex Colon, I was front row. All those damn light tubes around the ring was crazy. And like me, I had this natural habit now that every time light tubes go flying, like especially towards me, I'm throwing my arm up in front of my face because I know those things like cut bad. And like a good chunk of light tube went crashing into my arm. And like, I was like, oh God, I was like, I got to be very careful how I pull this because I'm going to get cut really bad. Cause even like Brett came over to me to check on me and I got cut on my hand. Not bad, you know, but I'm like, okay, I know that if I don't grab this the right way, it's going to instant, you know, explode and I'm going to get cut like crazy. So I can't give you guys, especially, you know, you guys again, like wrestlers, you know, they're going to throw, you guys are crazy. But you guys, too, like, deserve all credit, too, like, sitting up in all of that, dealing and intaking all that. It's a lot.
There's a certain fun element to it. Yeah. Oh, and the brothers were the hooligans. I couldn't think of it. There you go. No, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, what I'm more afraid of, like, during any of the death matches is, like, when I'm afraid, like, when they come out and they're, like, doing stuff outside of the ring, like, getting in their way. Like,
right.
Like, I just don't want to get in the way. So, like, you always see me retreat whenever they're near me. You always see me just, like, head away, like, because, you know, I don't want to get, like, bowled over by somebody or screw something up and then, you know, like, mess up a moment, you know. So, that's what I'm really more afraid of. I'm not really worried about the stuff flying around as much as that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just talking with Cody, the promoter from NFW, and we were talking about Alex Colon and Atticus at the GCW, same show. And we were just talking about that light tube spot that was outside of the ring, like the circle light tubes that he threw, that Alex put it on top of Atticus, and then he started kicking them, and then you just like, it was so cool. But yeah, like all you guys are in the front, like you know, and all this stuff is going around the ring. It's chaos. Like when you go to these shows,
it is like, I mean, if you're in a bad spot, like they'll run you over, and they don't care. Like, I mean, not all the guys, but like. But, you know, because if you're gonna mess up their spot, I mean, I've seen it. I've never messed up a spot.
Yeah.
But they'll bowl you over. Like, I've been close where I get pushed out of the way and stuff. Like, I totally understand, you know, because if I'm too close, I got to get out of the way.
Right.
You know, in a spot like that, you don't want to be near that anyways.
No, absolutely not. Shout out to David Russell. He's in the chat. He says, hi. Everything pro wrestling. Go check him out as well as my boy Conrad. He goes, death matches are the new normal. Yeah, they really are. Like...
They are. there was a whole thing. Like, I was one of the only few people like in the beginning when I started shooting that was even doing death matches. They were a rarity kind of in America. And now it's everywhere. Yeah. It's all over the country, you know?
And the fans are loyal as hell.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. It is one loyal group for sure. And it has grown over the past year for sure it's grown.
Yeah. It's nuts. And to see like more and more people showing up and being more open to deathmatch wrestling, as I always have that conversation with people on social. Kyle, my co-host on Ollie podcast, we were talking about again Jericho and Gage on AEW, and he asked me, he goes, okay, like let's be real here, he goes, percentage wise, he goes, how much is that real deathmatch wrestling? I'm like, I don't know, maybe 60%, maybe 60, 70, maybe I'm pushing it, if really. I was like, it's nothing compared to
They did a like almost an appetizer of deathmatch on there, because you know they did the tubes and they did, you know, what was it, one or two spots, and then the table, the glass table. So it was like just a little like sampling.
Right.
A fun fact, that's the only match. I'm not being a cool kid just saying this, but that's the only match I've ever watched of AEW.
Okay, that's okay. I mean, it's cool, right? Like, okay, we'll go this route with it, right? That it's like you get to see, and you've worked over all these years that you've worked all these different promotions, but it's got to be cool for you too to watch the people that you got to take photos of and get that call to work, whether wherever it is, where it's AEW, whether it's WWE or New Japan or Impact or wherever it is.
It's a really good point. And I think about this a lot. I mean, I want everybody I've ever photographed, you know, there's so many nice people.
Yeah.
I want everybody to succeed. So if they're in AEW, if they're, you know, on WWE, like, I'm thrilled for them. Like, mm-hmm. like all my job is, the way I treat this is like, I take their promos, I take wrestling shots. I'm hoping that maybe some of this work will heighten awareness, you know, for them, and they reach their potential through their own hard work. You know, it's really nothing about me. Like, you let the stars be the stars.
Right.
I have nothing against AEW or anything. The reason I don't watch wrestling on TV because I'm so entrenched with the indies. Yeah. I honestly just don't have time to like dive into it. Yeah. Like I'm always editing wrestling. I'm always involved with it. I don't have any time to go beyond that, you know?
Yeah. And there's so much indie out there. And
so much.
It's insanity that, you know, like, people don't realize like how much indies are.
Just in our area. Like,
yeah.
Like, in New Jersey, New York, I mean, just look at all the companies. And then, of course, New Jersey is a hotbed of deathmatch wrestling in the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just, it's, you can find 12, 15 shows to go to.
On one day.
Yeah. Within an hour, 2 hour drive. There's stuff everywhere.
Frankie's telling me that he saved your son, that he said, I took a hit for his son.
Yes. Frankie did save my son. Cause like, there was this, what was it? I think it was Tremont. When he got the CZW title, my son, they go out and they're wrestling outside, and like, he's just being a dummy and he's like not moving. And like, I see this and I'm like yelling to my son, like, move. And he's just like, staring like, oh my God, these wrestlers are right here. So Frankie sees this and like, he takes a huge bump. Like, he looked like he was a plant and like saved my kid. So yeah, I am always, I tell him all the time, I'm forever indebted to him. Not getting my 7-year-old killed at the time.
They come at me now, all these wrestlers. They come flying at me.
They do the dives in front of you.
I'm catching everybody. Marcus Matters. I'm catching, all my friends give me shit. They're like, I'm tired of sitting with you because everybody comes at you. I'm like, sorry. I was like, but I'll catch everybody. Like, I got you. So I know, like, when me and you had talked, like, at H2O, and you were saying that you have, like, so many, like, great stories that you can share on this podcast. Maybe you can enlighten us with, like, a fun story.
Oh, I have stories, but I can use some positive stories. I mean, oh my God! Like, if you want the dark side of the ring, I've got enough of them. I'll just say, kind of like, you know, overall, it's been fun. I got, you know, I made a lot of friends through wrestling. I've got to know a lot of people, which I like, you know, and it's a whole community within itself. And you know, like you had said, like, the deathmatch scene, they're super loyal. Like, I think they're like, they're almost like a wrestling fan on steroids in a way, you know. Like, they will support, they'll buy the t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Anybody that has like a product out, no matter what it is, they're very supportive. It's cool to see. Like, I always wanted to treat this, I went into this differently than a lot of, I think a lot of people, like, a lot of people get into like wrestling photography because like, they kind of want to like hang out with the wrestlers and be a part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool and all. I treat this like a long term body of work that I want to present. So there are certain photographers that I've seen, like, work from like the 1980s, like the New York subways and like the punk scene. And there's certain photographers that I like that covered a large portion of an era, like the punk scene of like the late 70s and like the mid 80s, the subways, you know, and they kept photographing, they kept going back to the same spots and doing this over and over again. And that's the way I kind of like treating this. Like what we had touched like earlier about how it's, you know, you see a wrestler when they're 18 years old and now they're 28 years old and you can see their progression and right. I could get, you know, so I'm treating that like I'm treating this as like almost like a long-term project. Like I want to cover an era of wrestling in the independent scene and really do a good, try to do the best job I can to present it as an art form, like to present the deathmatch as an art form or just right. present wrestling, of what it is, and not have any like, you know, people are like, oh, wrestling's fake and this and that. Well, it's entertainment, and yeah. look at this, look at these guys that can you know, dive off the top rope, and look at these guys that can smash light tubes and the art form that goes with that. And there's a certain degree of wrestling and athleticism involved. And that's kind of how I treat it, you know?
Yeah, no, it's good. And I think also, again, like even, you know, you guys are important because you guys are posting these photos up, and then it also brings, you know, like even if you're scrolling through social and then you'll see photos and then it'll pique interest to somebody like, oh, this looks cool. What yes. happened or whatever. So it's like, that's why I always say like everybody, it's not just the wrestlers. Everybody's important to it. The people that are even doing GIFs, like yeah. Wrestling with Unicorn. Shout out to the Martin. Martin's been on here, you know, like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like all these people are so important to the business that it's a whole. So definitely a great thing. Captain Dave's in the chat. Shout out to you. He goes,
what Captain Dave's, he's working right now because I already Ooh. Messaged him. Ooh. Is he working?
Are you working? You're going to get fired. Don't get fired. Don't get fired listening to the podcast. Yeah. Yeah. Don't get fired. That's so great.
He's on his break.
Yeah. Okay. He's on his break. Yeah. Let's go with a fan tweet from Good Cop, Bad Cop. I know you saw this and you liked it. He said, with Chris Grasso being an anagram of gross chairs, which organization has the best seating for fans and which has the grossest chairs?
Oh, the grossest chairs. Well, I would say I'm pretty impressed with the chairs in Atlantic City. Like yeah. they're pretty good quality. Like yeah. I guess that's part of Showboat. Like I was like, maybe I'll steal one in the back, you know, and sit down. So I'd say they had the best chairs, grossest chairs. Oh man. I've been at shows where like, it'd be like a gymnasium and like, you can tell like the chairs are like 60 years old and they're just rusting away and they're like crooked and all of that. And it's like, even this is like pre-COVID, you're just looking at them, you're like, I'm gonna catch something sitting on this.
You know, I've been to those promotions where they're zip tie the chairs next to each other. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Do I need to be like on top? Because a lot of times yeah. I go to promotions by myself a lot of the times. Do I really need to sit next to this smelly person? Like,
yeah, yeah. It's either a death match, and they'll just throw the whole thing into the ring.
Yeah, like, oh, I've had that too, where, like, I saw Tommy Dreamer, and he asked for a chair, but the zip ties were all on the chairs, so the fans couldn't. So you should have seen the fans flipping the hell out, like, pulling out, like, the pocket knives, trying to cut these zip ties, and throwing the damn chairs in the ring. Like, I'm like, what is going on right now? Don't kill me. Like, and it was funny, because, like, let's even like talk about like this had to be scary for you. So I'm actually really curious. You had the whole thing. And I talked about this with Ellis Taylor yesterday on the podcast. And we talked about Gage, about Cardona and the explosion yeah. that happened. The minute that he won, I ran with April. Yeah. Like my other friends, Brad, we were sitting with them. Like they were like, where the hell did you go? I ran to Young, Dumb and Broke because they were in the back in the corner, and I'm like, you guys are protecting me right now because I'm scared for my life the way that people were acting. So but you and even a lot of the H2O kids were around the ring, which was kind of scary, you know. So like, you didn't get hit?
I did. I got the thing. So I have video of that as well. So like as soon as Gage lost, I mean, it was like this lightning bolt. It was like all at once. Everybody just started to throw stuff into the ring. And it was so spontaneous. I was like, it was really when I kind of like think back about it, you know, what a it was kind of like an organic moment, but it's so dangerous at the same time. So, I mean, when all that stuff's flying around, people are throwing like full water bottles, full beer bottles. And I mean, look, I got shots at Cardona. He's getting hit in the head with water bottles, like full water bottles are exploding on his head. I mean, like crazy. Like that's not called for. I mean, that's really a being a dickhead.
Yeah.
I got hit in the chest with a water bottle, like full water bottle, boom, hit me right in the chest. I got hit in the side with beer and stuff. So, I mean, nothing like serious. I mean, it hurt, but I mean, it wasn't like a real big deal, but like I was going through the pictures. I didn't see what I took.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing these shots, and like even Gage, like at one point he's on the ground and I have a shot of him. He's like covering himself because he's getting hit. And if you remember within were you at the Run Ricky Run show 2020?
I feel like I was. God, they're all clumped together, all these shows. Like
I'm normally really bad with trying to remember certain shows and this and that. Like, but same thing sort of happened at that show at the end. I mean, there was just tons of stuff lying in the ring and full bottles and stuff. But, you know, that homecoming, it was way worse. I mean, it was bad. Not fun. You know, empty bottle or, you know, crumpled up like paper.
Streivers are fine. Like, I mean, I'm always throwing streivers, so it's like you guys get wrapped in that too, you know, but that's like nothing compared to like that. Like, I don't understand why people behave like that.
Like, you know, it's almost like the mob mentality. So like if people start throwing stuff, then it's like, well, I'm not going to get caught, so let me throw this. But you know what? I didn't even drink this, so, you know, the hell with them. And if I hurt somebody, I won't know about it. And that's kind of like what happens. At the Collective in Tampa, there was chairs being thrown into the ring at one point. And I mean, like, we're getting nailed with chairs. I mean, they were like the plastic stuff, but you know, I'm keeping an eye on stuff like to protect myself, but like somebody that maybe not being paying attention or a fan, because not all the chairs are even getting to the ring.
Yeah.
What about if it hits somebody in the back of the head? I mean, these are just like, it's just stupid. Like I personally don't really like that stuff. So, you know, but none of us got hurt, but it could have happened, you know?
Yeah. HP just jumped in the chat and goes, I just got it late. Did you talk about Chris getting light tube by Claxton at the TOD? Chris is hardcore.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So, like, Connor had this whole thing about he wanted to tube me. I have no idea why. So, we talked about it, and I was like, okay. And I was like, why don't you bundle me? Like, tube bundle me. And he's like, no, you don't want to do that. Like, okay. So, he's telling me what he wants to do. And so the match with Ricky's happening, and I'm nervous as hell because I'm like, again, like, I don't know what I don't know what this is going to feel like. So, you know, bam, we do the spot. I turn around, he's right there, and he just hits me. Boom. Right. Now, we talked about being tubed at a certain point during the match, but we never talked about my reaction to it. So I immediately get hit with the light tube and I'm like, holy shit, this hurt. And it kind of dazed me for a second because he hit me like in the crown.
Oh my God.
And I just wasn't expecting the pop, the concussion of the tube breaking is like an impact within itself. And I'm like, I remember having this thought. When he hit me instantly, when I did that, I was like, there's no way I could be a deathmatch wrestler.
Yeah.
So I like, I'm dazed. I don't even know really how to react. I don't know how to fall. I don't know how to bump. Nothing. Yeah. Right. So I kind of just do this like shitty flop and I kind of play dead for a while. I mean, but he legit hurt me. he says no. He said he didn't swing hard. Well, hard for him and hard for me is relative. You know, I mean, this guy will take like 1,000 tubes at once. You know, yeah. Like I'm just like some average Joe. So I'm on the ground. I touch my head at one point. I've got a handful of blood.
Oh no!
My whole arm is covered in blood. I'm like, holy shit! This is like one tube. I'm like, I'm just like, there's no way I could do this, right? So that was like kind of that spot. But yeah, like, man, you talk about having anxiety because it's like, you know, he had told me he wanted to do this for a long time, and like, you know, it was like 2 months like leading up to this, and he still kind of talks about wanting to tube me like again.
Oh, shame. I want to smack somebody with a light tube. Like,
I mean, you know, it's not that big. I think it's the ferocity of his swing. It was just stunning. It just hit me and I was like, whoa, because I saw stars. Like, I mean, it was crazy. Like, I guess it's something you get used to when you're doing it and you're using weapons and you're sort of taking those bumps. You kind of probably get used to it a little bit, but
yeah,
just being a lay person and getting tubed in the head, and he swung as hard as he could. I don't care what he says. It was a reality check for sure.
Damn. Oh my goodness. Ryan Redfield's in the chat. He goes, if I was there, I would have called it back to you easily. HP says, love you, Chris. And Captain Dave is on a break till 8. So he's here hanging out. Yeah. There you go. Oh man. We had another fan tweet from Joe Hale. He goes, how much does he love the Chuds? And if he's thinking of becoming one.
Oh God. All right. Well, we're keeping this positive. So the one thing I've noticed with a lot of the wrestling, deathmatch wrestling groups, okay, there's like all of these new fans, and I don't know if they're trolling, I don't know if they're just ignorant, I don't know if they just don't understand, but they ask the dumbest questions. I mean, the dumbest shit that you could just Google, and I try not to have an emotional, any emotional investment in the internet, but sometimes it's like, I've been involved in this so long, when I see something so stupid, mm-hmm. it instantly pisses me off. And then I get mad, and I probably shouldn't react, and I react online. I'll be like, don't be a dumbass or whatever. And, but it's like, come on. Like, I mean, all right. So I'll give you the real brief synopsis. Like, okay. Somebody was asking about, what's it called? 440, Greg.
Okay.
They're asking about his handicap.
Okay.
And I kind of took offense to that. I know Greg. He's such an awesome dude.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way the question was asked. I thought there was something underlining to it. So I kind of instantly got pissed off about it. And it was something that was like, you could look this up on your own without bringing this attention to a person that is handicapped. Okay. When on his profile, it's explained in two sentences. Like, why are you bringing attention to this? What? Like, so yeah. I don't like that stuff. Yeah. I wish people wouldn't be like trying to gain attention for themselves. So I get mad, and then it becomes a whole thing. So that's what the Chud thing is.
Okay. I was like, what is this all about?
Yeah, so it's just like, come on, don't be a chud, and don't be like, you know, like some, like respect.
Yeah.
Respect people, you know, like.
Do better. Like, that's like, do better, yeah, people. Like, come on. Like.
Yeah, like, don't bring attention to somebody's handicap or something like that. Yeah. When there's no need to, when you can just instantly just find out on your own. Like, ask about deathmatch or ask about a person, and if you need a history lesson, I mean, that's different.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the stuff recently with new fans has been kind of like, I think, on the trolling level,
There's so much negative, and there's so much like positive out there, and it's like, it's crazy.
This month I've been very quiet online. I think I've only maybe did 7 or 8 tweets like this whole month. Like, I've just tried to stay away because it's just so negative. Like, nobody can just enjoy themselves.
Yeah. You know? And that's the thing also too, that like I always say, it's like, whatever wrestling you like, great, enjoy it. Why you gotta criticize other people for not liking it? Like, me, like, again, like I talk about this on the podcast, like, I'm not a big WWE fan. That's fine. Right. I grew up on WWF. I watched some WWE. I you know, wasn't my cup of tea anymore. And I like AW, I like the indies, you know, and that's my cup of tea, you know, where it might not be the cup of tea for somebody else, but I'm not going to go out of my way and bash them. But why?
Yeah.
You know, that's like,
yeah, see, so that's
no need for that. Problem.
So like for instance, like the new thing now is like this GCW versus ICW, right? So like, you know, I'm friends with Brett and I'm friends with Danny and you know, ICW is different than what GCW is. Right. And then GCW on the East Coast is different than what it is on the West Coast. Right. And it's like, I look at this as, look at the differences. Like it's, there's so much variety, and H2O is different than those two companies. Like, why do you have to hate everything except for one company when there's so much different variety, and it's, there's all great workers now.
Yeah.
You don't have the slash and hack guys, you know, like that you used to, because they couldn't wrestle. Like every deathmatch guy now knows how to wrestle like really well. Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be deathmatch. I mean, it could be whatever. Yeah. Like, I mean, these young guys are 17, 18 years old and they're just like ridiculous. Like they're just like so athletic and they can do all these amazing moves. And I just don't understand, because I cover a lot of different companies within, why there has to be like that. I have to like ICW and I can't like GCW. Yeah. Like, no,
you just should like whatever you like. And that's fine. That's okay. Exactly. Like, do you. So with that, like here, just so you guys know, if you didn't watch my Wrestling with Positivity, it is on the No Holds Barred Network. I got a bunch of wrestlers, fans, parents. I got all these like behind the scenes of conversations, or even like videos that parents have sent me with one of the wrestlers with kids with disability. Like, it was such an amazing piece that I covered with all these people. So definitely go check that. I legit like wanted to cry with even like putting it together. Like, it's the stuff that people should be talking about and not the negative. So if you want something positive, definitely go check that out on the Indie Talk slot. It's called Wrestling with Positivity on the No Holds Barred Network. So definitely go check that out. So we'll cover that. Like, we're not about the negative around here. We're all about the positive around here. So let's talk about what has been one of your most like favorite experiences of like yourself that, you know, you've covered, like that moment that you had, you're like, oh my god, like all warm and fuzzy.
I mean, yeah, I know there's been like, I mean, there's so many moments. I can right when I started shooting JCW, right before it became GCW, like, you know, JCW was just kind of your New Jersey company, like North Jersey company. And you know, right before it became GCW, there was definitely like a shift. Like, you could tell that there was like an energy. Like, it was fun. Like, they had shows that a lot of people never went to or whatever. You know, they had Skate and Surf in Asbury Park. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, it's like Gacy versus Gage, Gacy versus Janela, and they're doing crazy stuff and running around this whole park. And, you know, not many people really got to see that. You know, that was a lot of fun to cover. And then, of course, like some of the, you know, the Cage of Deaths that I covered, you know, when Matt became champion at CZW, the roof bump that Joey did. I mean, Joey, somebody described him to me one time and they're like, yeah, Joey, he's like made out, made out of like rubber or something. He just bounces like And I mean, for like years, you know, before, you know, he really broke out in the indies, like just seeing him just do this crazy shit. And like, there wasn't many fans, you know, and he's diving off of this and diving off of that. And, you know, now he's like a global superstar. But like, the roof bump was amazing. And Joey's done tons of like amazing shit where I'm just like, I can't believe I'm photographing this, you know. You know, just thing, moments like that. It was, you know, a lot of the GZW things that have happened, Bloodsport, Cardona is definitely up there. Like, that was a shock. I really didn't know that was going to happen. The three matches with Matt and Nick, you know, when it was at the old Game Changer World and Howl. I mean, those were amazing matches to cover. You know, I got to do a little bit of traveling. I went to Chicago a few years ago to cover GCW shows, and they were just like a lot of fun. You know, it's like you're meeting new people, you're meeting first time fans and whatnot that have never experienced this, and like you could tell that they get hooked on it. They're like, oh my god, like we only knew this wrestling on TV, mm-hmm. and now we can experience this wrestling, which is just as good. There's just as much energy,
right?
And I can get, instead of being, you know, up to 500 levels up, I'm in the second row. And I mean, that was kind of my attraction to it when I, mm-hmm. when I first started going to shows. So yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm looking forward to next month.
There's so much, you
know, Atlantic City. Yeah. That's, yeah. I'm going to probably shoot all of those shows. It's like a mini collective. The yeah. one thing is, I mean, I think Earl and myself, I don't think there's two wrestling photographers in the world in the past year have shot more wrestling than us. Like,
yeah.
like, I mean, we're covering GCW, like their whole weekends of just shooting. That's yeah. all you do. And it's like, I mean, we covered collectives together. We do all, I mean, it's just, it's so much. And yeah. it does tire you out after yeah. a while. But
I get tired and I'm a fan, like going to yeah. these shows, and I'm feeling like I come back home and I'm like, damn. I'm like, I'm shot. I'm laid out for the rest of the week, I feel like. So I can only imagine you guys are working, like, you know, yeah. and I've only do like some of the little backstage stuff at like H2O and a couple other little promotions, and, you know, but you guys are full on in.
So I was, yeah. And I mean, on top of, for me right now, I mean, it's getting better because I'm getting it worked on. I have on my right foot, I have 4 bone spurs. And I have a possible torn Achilles, and I've been sort of limping around for like a year now with this problem. And we're doing everything we can, you know, with the doctor and all, so I don't need surgery. She doesn't right. want me to get the surgery because I'd actually be off my feet for 12 weeks. I wouldn't be able to walk. So I'm like, I mean, at the end of these shows, like the next week, a whole week will go by, and I'm yeah. in so much pain because it's like I'm constantly walking and being on my feet. So it's like you just have to suck it up, and then you just deal with it, you know.
We're gonna get you a wheelchair, and then like we're gonna get you like a little intern, and we're gonna have the intern push you around the show the entire time.
It's already been talked about, which is funny.
I love it. Well, I mean, you talked about, like, you know, like you're so engrossed in like the indies, right? So it's like, I mean, is there any other goals that like you would want to work, or is this it? Like, you're content? Like, you know, are there some promotions that you would still like to work?
I mean, you know, if I got called to shoot any wrestling shows on television, I would be more than happy to do that. I mean, I did shoot Ring of Honor for a while. I mean, really, for me, it's just like, I guess a lot of the, like, the deathmatch wrestlers is just eventually to head to Japan and just cover like you know, a weekend of shows or something. That would be kind of my ultimate goal. But I mean, yeah, I mean, if AEW, you know, said, hey, you know, we're in Philly, can you shoot, you know, ringside? Of course I'm going to jump into it, or anybody like that. Yeah. But I mean, if that never happens, I am content because I mean, there's so much going on. There's so much going on locally. And I like for instance, for H2O, like I'll go to H2O. It's a Saturday. It's like hanging out with friends. Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't even feel like I'm working. Like we're in the back, we're cracking jokes and all. When it's time to be serious and the show starts, we're all doing our job. I mean, I love that. It's like, I look forward to like catching up with everybody. So, I mean, I kind of feel that I am where I belong. But yeah, I mean, if I ever had the opportunity, of course, I would love to do something, you know, in like, you know, a giant arena or something like that. But I mean, you know, in all honesty, some of the places I'm shooting now, I mean, we're getting there anyways, you know. Every time I'm shooting GCW, it's, you know, there's 2,000 people at a show. I mean, it's pretty much, it's viral. It's being covered around the world. So it is that anyways, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I pretty much, you know, I'm going to close out with one question. If you guys have any other questions, you can drop them in the chat for Chris. So, you know, I like to ask always this, like, there are inspiring people that want to get into photography. I know there's a couple of people that always like want to ask, like, what's maybe like a great start off camera. And is there any advice that you would give, like, to get into the business, and any advice, like, to, you know, become a better photographer?
Sure. Well, I'll keep this short because I could go on. The technology with photography cameras has really gotten pretty good. I mean, you don't even really have to buy a brand new camera. I was using, up until a month ago, I was using a camera that was 9 years old. It's really, you got to understand the machine. You got to know how to use it to get the most out of it. And mm-hmm. if you can do that, you don't need to buy a $3,000 camera. Mm-hmm. The one I have now, the new one I have now, is great. I mean, it is really amazing, low light. I'm a Nikon guy. So my old camera was a 610, which was designed to last forever. And now I have an 850, which is good for low lighting. As far as getting into the business, you know, when I got in about 9 years ago, there wasn't too many wrestling photographers. And I think now we have an overabundance, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You have a lot of fans now shooting ringside.
Yeah.
The cell phones have gotten better. Video has gotten better. So there really is kind of, in a way, less opportunity to be a ringside photographer. But there still is opportunity. I would suggest, if you're getting into it, is to, you know, whatever company you like or whatever, I mean, you got to know who's, like, you know, who's in charge of that. So, like, if they have ringside photographers and they're established people, I mean, you're not going to bounce them out of the position or anything like that. And that's a mistake a lot of the younger ones are making now. We've had, Earl and I have had a couple of run-ins this year with newer photographers that just think that they're entitled to shoot ringside at GCW. And we're like, no, you're not. Like, you have to go through sort of a line of, okay, we have this, and this person. If there's room, maybe. But, you know, you can't just think that you're going to, you know, barge in. So, you know, I would, again, maybe other photographers have said the same thing. I would try the smaller shows, the shows that aren't getting coverage, and work with them, build your body of work, build that you can be trusted. You'll get the work out. You know, you're professional. You're not just trying to hang out with the photographers, which is a newer problem I see. It's like, well, I'm shooting the show, but I really want to hang out with, you know, A, B, and C photographer. Well, that's, yeah, you can, but I mean, is that your primary goal?
Right.
And, you know, just build a body of work and try not to step on anybody's toes. I mean, you know, like anything that's an artistic field, there's egos, there's jealousy, there's all of that. You've got to watch all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I try to stay away from a lot of that myself. And I just concentrate on myself. So I get done work when I get done work. I don't rush to get done the work because my process is slow anyways. It'll get done. And when it gets done, it's okay. You know, maybe somebody got it done faster than me, but okay, they'll get the secondary. They'll get my version. So it's just that. It's just concentrating on yourself. Once you're consistent, once they know that you're in it for the right reasons, you'll get into places that you want to get into.
That's awesome. No, that's great. It's great advice for everybody out there. So good, great stuff. So definitely keep your look out there, guys. So let's talk about your book that you got. How cool is this? So tell us a little bit about it, because actually I don't think I've seen your book.
Yeah, so that book, it's the Theater of Blood. That came out a little while ago, 2016. I covered deathmatch and like hardcore for about 2 years. I didn't shoot in the West Coast, but I kind of went up and down the country and I tried to cover about 2 years worth of events. There's really no, it's just pictures. There's not much of a beginning, middle, and end. It's just kind of a whole bunch of pictures in this book of deathmatch. And I tried to make it the art form that it is, and I tried to cover it with the respect that it deserves. And it came out in October of 16, and even today, like on Amazon, I sell 1 to 2 a week. Like, it's pretty much every week. I sell them every time I'm out at a show or something. Like, it's crazy. I mean, we're talking about how fans are so supportive. When a new fan sees the book, you know, sometimes they purchase it, and it's an honor, you know. I mean, the book is old now, if you think about it. You know, things have changed like so much. I'm working on a few things. I got a couple of book projects going. It's just trying to finish them and get them out. But I'll have some new stuff out soon.
Awesome.
Yeah. I have, you know, just more like photo oriented, but it'll make sense linearly. It'll be like, okay, the times and dates and events. So it won't be all go random like that book was.
Yeah. That's so cool. It's so neat. Again, like, I love going through all like the photos, and I'll go through the photos of your guys' albums that you post up after a show. Like, it's just really neat to see those like action shots. Like, and again, like, especially the deathmatch ones where you see all the glass like shattering. Like, you guys covered some really cool photos that I'm in awe. So, you know, so like, I thank you guys like for what you guys do. Definitely, like, you guys are so important to it. So tell everybody where they can follow you and support you and buy your book and all that.
Oh, thank you. So on Twitter, at Ringside Guy, pretty easy. Ringside Guy. Instagram is, it's an old handle, Nacho Chez. So it's Nacho, C-H-E-Z-Z. So I put up different pictures on that than I do on Twitter. And then on Facebook, Chris Grasso. Amazon is, if you look up the Theater of Blood, which is the deathmatch book, it usually just comes right up, and you'll see a picture of Matt Tremont, and that is the book. So,
yeah.
It's not listed under wrestling. I put it up before they, had genres, like subgenres, and also, and you have to like look up the Theater of Blood. It's a Vincent Price movie, and then you'll see the deathmatch book.
Yeah, the link's in the description below if you guys want to purchase those books. So make sure you can click that. I made that access for you. And then you have a Patreon as well. What's on your Patreon? What do you have like up on there?
Yeah, so my Patreon, again, it's I kept it simple, at Ringside Guy. I shoot a lot of video when I'm taking pictures. So I have, I attach a video to my camera while I'm shooting. I only post those videos on my Patreon. So you can't find them anywhere else. You can't find them on Twitter or Instagram. I won't put them anywhere else. I have over 100 videos. It's mostly from this year, but I had stuff as far back as 2016. And then I put pictures up and things that are no longer available online. So after a while, I usually hide my images. I don't want them out there circulating. Mm-hmm. So I put some stuff up that is no longer available to the public. It'll be like old, you know, group sets and whatnot.
That's really neat. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Let me grab.
I should also mention, I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
You also get, signed, promo pics in the mail. So it'll be like rare stuff. I ask my patrons to tell me which wrestlers they want, and I send them promos of them. I sign it, number it 1 of 1, and then they can get the wrestlers.
Oh, how cool is that? That's neat. What a cool treat. So definitely go join the Patreon. That's so awesome. Let me grab this in the chat. Good Cop Bad Cop says, say cheese, what is your favorite type of cheese?
Swiss. That's a no-brainer.
I love it. He loves the picture, and he said new book. He goes, just looked at the Patreon, interesting. So looks like you might have a new guy over there. So great stuff. So so you will definitely be busy the next couple of weeks. October, like we said, is absolutely crazy. So if you guys, like, I know you're going to be at all the GCW shows, like you said, and I know you'll probably be at all the H2O shows coming up. I already know. I'll be there. I already booked. I'm waiting for the damn tickets to go up for the Matt versus Onita. Like, I know I'll be backstage, but I still want to be in the front row, and I want to take in all that because what? Yeah. Like, so I'm hoping that we can get Matt Tremont back on here to do a panel, guys. So definitely make sure, again, you're subscribed. Make sure you're following all the Twitters and all that fun. Make sure you're following me at LovesADream82 as well to keep up all those updates. So if you see Chris at a show, go say hi. Bring him some tacos or something, like some drinks.
Yeah, don't throw them at
him. No, don't throw them at him. Nicely hand them over. Guys are nuts. So, but Chris, thank you for so much for coming, hanging out with us, and sharing your story. So, I'm so glad, like you told me, that this was your first podcast. So, I feel very honored that you came on and shared. And, you know, like, again, you have so many stories. Maybe you'll come back another time and you can share some more. And then, don't get killed by any light tubes or any of that fun stuff. So, but again, thank you for everything that you guys do for the indie scene. So, but guys, that's going to wrap up this interview. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for all your questions. And so stay safe, support independent wrestling, and we will talk to you guys soon. Have a good night.